Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It is.
In fact, it's one of the classiest occasions.
Absolutely, because I'm wearing a bow tie. Because it is a special event. It is absolutely a cheating bow tie.
I had to check. I couldn't see under your beard if you were still wearing your bow tie.
Yes, it's still there. It is still there. Because this is our third annual...
Classies.
Classy Award Show.
Yes.
As known as the Classies.
The Classies.
Celebrating, hooray, guys.
Celebrating the best in rest and wrestling.
So we are sitting here wearing our best, obviously. I'm wearing a bow tie. And I assumed you, everyone, as you were listening, you're wearing the same because you weren't raised in a barn. So
if not,
go ahead and do that now. We'll wait.
I mean, we can't wait. That's dead air.
Well, okay, fine. Hit pause, get dressed up, and, you know,
all right,
hit
so
play again.
We have a full list of classies for you here today. For those who are tuning in for their first ever classies, it's quite simple. We have a category. We each pick a winner.
Yep.
And then we argue about why Joel's winner is the best.
And, a few people who listened to our previous podcast, we gave them everyone a list of our categories. You guys sent in your picks. Thank you.
Yes.
We don't care. I mean, yeah, you gave us some ideas here and there that we, you know, we thought about and we considered. I don't know if any of our picks are going to overlap with yours, but if they don't, I'm not sorry.
Listen to why we decided on our own ideas.
Exactly. But I guess first and foremost, I guess we should cover what's actually going on in the world of wrestling the past week.
Going on in the world of wrestling, technically, the Authority came back.
Yes.
We all knew that was going to happen, but probably repeat the same storyline into WrestleMania. That's fine.
There's that. And then, I'm assuming you watched Raw this week.
I did watch Raw this
week. Yeah, so at the end of Raw, they quote-unquote fired Ziggler, Ryback, and Eric Rowan.
Yes.
Okay, we'll see how long that... I'm sure they're going to be...
I mean...
They're going to have a tick in their hand and sit in the front row next week, obviously. They're going to pull the old Cena.
Cena will show them what to do.
Of course.
He's been fired enough times.
Cena is their Moses. He will lead them the right way.
They have been... It is nice that they put them in the alumni page.
Yeah, they went... Because I went ahead and checked, and I was like, well, they actually went pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same company that had both members of Los Matadores and Primo and Epico... all on the active roster at the same time for a good 6 months.
Yeah.
I checked because I care about these things.
I remember we had like an update, like a weekly update.
I'm sorry, people need to know about this crap.
Where he would continue to update that they were still both on the roster.
I keep my ear to the ground of what's hip in the world of wrestling.
Says you.
Speaking of, Joel, I know you haven't had a chance to watch it yet because, you know, you have a life and you're busy.
And time zones.
And time zones, yes. Wrestle Kingdom 9 for New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
Happened this past weekend. And it was my first, time watching their product. I checked this one out basically because it was just, you know, plastered all over the internet and Reddit and everything, for the last couple months now. And so, it got hyped up so much that I figured I might as well go ahead and give it a try.
Yeah.
So glad that I did. And I know it's not always going to be like this. Like, they're not all going to be, have, you know, Matt Stryker and Jim Ross commentating. But this was a fantastic pay-per-view. It was a 4-hour event at the Tokyo Dome. Those final two matches, the two main events, were amazing. Great atmosphere. Very, very WrestleMania,
yeah.
You know, feeling. So if you're on, you know, the fence about watching this or not, absolutely take the time to watch it. It's on the internet somewhere.
Oh.
If you can pay for it, preferably, obviously, that's the way you can,
support
you should
it.
Watch it and yeah. Support it. If not, I'm not going to condone it, but I'm not going to condemn it either. So there you go. But yeah, I absolutely recommend it. It was an amazing show, to the point where if it happened in 2013, I might have picked that for my pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah.
For the classics.
That is bold. Also technically this year, or this week, TNA will be debuting their new channel thing. Unfortunately, that didn't happen before airtime for us this week. Oh no, that was an accident.
Oh, was that today?
That's tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh no, that was an accident. We didn't. We'll.
I'll have to find time to watch that later.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check it out.
It's their new thing. It's
like how we both are like, yay, hooray, we didn't watch it, but we're both gonna check it out.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, this is their one chance. They've had a...
To kind of, like, redeem...
To do something that I was like... We've talked a lot about, like, what could be one thing that'll get you to, like, check in again? Because right. that's the biggest problem is, like, I'm not going to check in unless I hear something at this right. point. I'm not going to check in with TNA to see what's going on unless I specifically hear something I should check in about.
Right.
Except for this week.
Yeah.
This is the one week where I'm just going to check in to see how they're doing.
Because, you know, it's the start of their new show at a new channel. So you would think they would try to make a splash to get things rolling for them.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, thinking in those terms, we're just assuming they've got to try something.
So we'll see.
Yes.
So
with that, you want to just go ahead and dive into the classics? All right. Yes. If you have some fanfare music, this will be a good time to put that in. Just boom, boom, boom. And we're off.
You start at the bottom and work our way up?
Yes. Alright. First category we're gonna go with is best and worst turn of 2014.
Alright. Worst turn of 2014?
Worst turn clearly is Big Show.
I'm going with Big Show.
Just because it happens so often.
It's like, pick whichever one.
The market's flooded with Big Show turns. I'm not so sure, I think this is the only one of this year, I think. But it was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a,
here's the thing, it happened at a very important moment, but made me go, again?
Right.
And that's the thing, anybody else in that spot, you could have had a very shocking, scary moment for me.
Right.
You know, but because it was Big Show, and because you've set up this precedent with Big Show, it was a heel turn, shocking, oh no, and made me go, oh.
Go back and you can watch the match at Survivor Series. Go and look how, like, you can see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
If you see these symptoms, you know a Big Show turn, face or heel, is about to happen. He's just got the hand cocked and ready to punch someone. The people that we expect him to punch can see him and recognize, oh, he's about to punch us, and they're just all standing there. And then someone is just either standing or, in John Cena's case, recovering and getting back to his feet. And he's the one not suspecting any sort of punch.
Yeah.
So whoever is in the ring, not suspecting a punch, is going to get the punch from Big Show, turning him face or heel.
So
there's your symptoms.
Congratulations. I feel like Big Show won worst heel turn last year as well. Face heel turn?
I don't know. I don't listen to our podcast. I can't be bothered with that garbage.
I think we might have a streak going here.
Maybe. I mean, sure. What's your best turn?
What's your best turn?
Why? Okay.
Do you not have this? This is even easier to pick.
Okay, then please tell me.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, clearly.
You obviously. Liar. What was yours?
I just remembered that it was Seth Rollins.
What was yours?
No, it really was.
If I had made you go first, what
I didn't think
yours
it was that been? Obvious. I thought we were gonna have like differing ones. I don't know why, but I was like, why are you being like this? It's Seth Rollins. What's yours?
You liar.
No, I'm not.
You're going first from now on. I don't believe you on any of yours.
Okay. Alright, fine. But yeah, Seth Rollins is a clear choice.
Yes.
All jokes aside. Cause ever since he turned heel, like, he's been like the heel workhorse for WWE. Like, yeah, the product hasn't been great the past few months, but definitely wasn't because of him.
It's not Cena turns, but a member of the Shield turning was not as far away from that as you might have thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody breaking up the Shield. And there had been teases of a problem earlier, and we kind of watched by that, and you felt like they were not going to do that storyline.
Yeah.
And the Shield was looking stronger and better than ever, like, had come together to beat Evolution.
Right.
Like, that was a clear, tight, cohesive Shield.
And it literally was the night after this big, drawn out, you know, impressive, you know, fight. And all of a sudden he turns in favor of the guys that he just like,
destroyed
and slash destroyed him. Yeah. So, that's, that part I wasn't, we should have seen it coming because he's, you know, he's standing behind the other two guys with a chair in his hand.
Well, that's the thing, is like, once but this we're also happened, thinking, I was like, alright. I'm like, oh, it's gonna do that. They're not gonna do that.
Right.
That's the thing, it was such a, the fact that, still, he gets you sold out chance.
Yeah, still.
Still. People are still upset about that. Yeah. So no, it's so unquestionably the turn of the year.
And now Big Show's getting a you sold out chance, and I'm reminded of when they try to latch Big Show onto Daniel Bryan's, you know,
yes, star. Things. No, you.
Which was literally the same year, because he was a face back then.
Yep.
Or was it? No, it was the tail end of 2013.
Sure.
Yeah, it was during all that. Anyway, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Best and worst return. I'm guessing I go first now.
You go first from now on.
Worst return, obviously, Joel, is Batista.
Worst return is Batista.
It was
poorly handled.
There we go. It was poorly handled. Not necessarily he did anything wrong. Booking was weird. Just the whole Royal Rumble thing really cemented it.
Yeah.
He probably shouldn't have returned as a, trying to return
he,
as a face.
He should not have returned as a face. I understand that, you know, it got leaked that and you didn't want it to, but then, like, you didn't adjust because of that, really.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was poorly booked. Part of it was, the crowd wanted something different than your vision, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we both agree. Not Batista's fault at all, but just so badly handled for such a significant chunk of time that.
Yeah.
Yeah, worst return goes to Batista.
Like, it was so bad to the point we felt sorry for Batista.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Best return, Rock when he came back for that.
For the Rusev thing.
For the Rusev thing, I believe they were in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Rock made two surprise returns this year. He did it for Mania.
Yeah. But we weren't expecting either. But the Raw one really felt more of a surprise because it was free TV.
Yeah, it was free TV. It was so out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it really gave Rusev a nice rub.
Yeah.
Like, so that was a nice little thing. Cause if they have The Rock, they could have done anything with The Rock and to.
Yeah.
Give that time to a Rusev.
Yeah.
Thing that really built up Rusev's credibility.
And he didn't automatically bury Rusev, like, you know, go give him rock bottom and people's elbow or anything like that.
Right.
Nothing physical happened in that segment.
No.
It was just talking.
Rusev was standing at the end of the segment.
Right. And that's impressive for anyone who's in a Rock segment that's not The Rock.
Yeah. That's true.
It happens.
That is true. So yeah, I'll go best return to The Rock as well.
Absolutely. Next we're going to do the Mark Henry Memorial Award. And to remind people, that means, this is a reference to Mark Henry starting the whole Hall of Pain thing.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be completely dumb. And it ended up being pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So something that surprises you and impresses you.
That was supposed to be awful, and it ended up being pretty good.
Yeah.
Mine, I don't know, this might be a little bit of an obscure way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The WrestleMania 30 main event. It was supposed to be awful.
Yeah.
Going in January, I remember guys like Blair, because he's just so into other people's misery, was so looking forward to just fans just crapping all over this main event when the main event of WrestleMania 30 happened, because it was supposed to be just Batista and just Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And people were not wanting to have anything to do with it. It ended up being, you know, one of the best moments, if not the best moment of the year.
Yeah.
Because they added Daniel Bryan and gave the fans what they're literally begging for.
Right, right, right.
So, that's the way I thought about it, because originally, their original plan was awful.
Yeah.
And it would have been atrocious.
My Mark Henry Award this year goes to Mizdow.
Yeah.
Because that is...
That was my close second.
That's so dumb.
It really is. No, it absolutely
it's
is.
So dumb, and it works. And that's exactly... That embodies everything that the Mark Henry Award should, is a wrestler taking something that is crap and derivative and repetitive and pointless.
Yeah.
And just churning gold out of it.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So congratulations to Mizdow for, like, just taking a crap gimmick and really making me excited to see it.
No, absolutely. I completely agree 100%. The Sin Cara Award, which is the exact opposite.
Is the exact opposite.
Something that was, we thought was gonna be cool.
Yeah, I was very excited. A lot of hype.
And ended up being awful / the worst thing ever.
Yes.
New Day.
New Day.
Yeah.
New Day, I consider New Day. New Day has not been around quite long enough for me to end up taking it. But yeah,
It just immediately was dead in the water the minute they came
out.
It
was.
Like, that's an epic, like, everyone was so excited. And we went through the video package, and we're like, okay, it's interesting.
That's the thing, is like, the exciting thing was when I think Xavier Woods came out, I was like, enough is enough. And they walked away and disappeared for like three months.
Right, and they came back and we were like, yeah, we're happy.
Mm-hmm.
This reminded me of an episode of, Arrested Development when, Job is trying to set a dead dove free, and he, like, releases it and throws it out into the ocean, and the wave just brings it right back to his feet. That's how I imagine New Day. Just, all right, go do this.
It's a letter. Plop.
It's a letter?
It's a letter.
No. He tried to do that with a dove.
He drops the dove in the water at the end of the episode on the next time on.
Yeah, and it washes right back. He's like, he tries to let it free. He did it with a dove. I'm absolutely 100% sure about this.
I'll let you believe that.
The letter too, yes, fine, whatever.
My Sin Cara award goes to Paul Heyman managing Cesaro.
Yeah,
no, that was supposed to be amazing. Yeah, yeah, like that just like chills when that happened. And and again, I'm. It really comes down to they're like Cesaro was a face at that point, and Paul Heyman was a heel.
Yeah, he absolutely was supposed to be turning face. We thought he did turn face at WrestleMania 30. Like we thought the pre-show he turned face.
Yeah. And so, it didn't work out, and it's like, you know, one of the best wrestlers that I was so excited to see and get that Paul Heyman touch. It looked like it was somebody Paul Heyman wanted to kind of give that Paul Heyman boost to, rather than, you know, cause they've stuck Paul Heyman with a couple of people, and it's kind of felt like they're just, you know.
Yeah.
Doing that, and this really felt like Paul Heyman was picking somebody, and like, the way that he did with, you know, Lesnar and Punk, and like, here we go. This is going to be his guy, and it just kind of fizzled and didn't work, and your mouth, and so. That was a disappointment to me.
Absolutely. Next we have the most improved and the biggest downfall. Most improved, for me, was Damian Sandow. We're talking at the beginning of the year, through most of the year, really, having this god-awful gimmick of, you know, having a different costume every week, and kind of just going through whatever they throw at him to, you know.
No.
Oh, you're gonna dress up like Benjamin Franklin this week. Have fun. You know? And then this Mizdow thing happened, and like you said, when in your Mark Henry pick, like, it was supposed to be awful, and on paper, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, he just went all in and turned into something that's pretty entertaining and funny.
Yeah.
And got over in a big way with the fans, which seems so unlikely.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. My most improved goes to NXT.
Okay.
NXT was good at the beginning of the year, like already, but just throughout this year, consistently, NXT has gotten better and tighter, and it's just a more well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
The NXT live events, I guess they're called, the NXT pay-per-views, are consistently outperforming the main WWE pay-per-views.
Absolutely.
To the point where December, it was like a point of awkward contention that they had them so close together, and NXT just crushed TLC.
Yep. Absolutely.
And just, they are consistently the best WWE product on a weekly basis now.
Yeah.
So, NXT is firing on all cylinders right now, and it's been a nonstop uphill ride for them this whole year.
Yeah, you're 100% on the nose on that. Biggest downfall.
Do I have to go again so you can steal my answer?
No, my biggest downfall is Cesaro.
Cesaro, that's
because like, and it's weird because he had like this big improvement at WrestleMania, and like his downfall was like a month later. You know?
Yeah.
Like it's just they didn't know what to do with him, although it was obvious they have him face. He should have been face.
I'll give it to you. He had a pretty big downfall, but I gotta put all that blame on WWE.
No, I know. But it was still pretty, like, really high peaks and really low valleys.
Yeah.
To the point, I mean, yeah, it's technically giving him something to do, but he was a rosebud on Monday Night Raw. That's not, like, it was funny, and it was weird and kind of entertaining. And it kind of interesting. But him and Tyson Kidd were Rosebuds on Raw this
week. But Andre the Giant winner, Battle Royale winner,
was dressed in a black bodysuit.
Yeah.
With a mask on.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a good one. I'll stick with my answer, but that's actually...
Like, my mind... The reason I stalled on that was my mind went blank for a second. I was like, you know this. Why didn't you write this down?
I'll give you that one. Like, okay. That one. But mine goes to the person who did not win a single match this year.
Yeah?
The Undertaker.
I was trying to think of who hasn't won a match this year. Santino?
I mean, I like, in KFAM, the guy has a year-long losing streak.
Okay. God, if he loses at WrestleMania 31, if he's at WrestleMania 31, dear Lord, he's gonna be on suicide watch.
I mean, just, you know, like, in KFAM, the guy had one match and he lost it.
Okay.
So, I gotta say, that's the biggest downfall.
You're right, Joel. Undertaker equals biggest jobber in the WWE. You're absolutely right, because that is absolutely what you're saying.
Undertaker has gone from never losing at WrestleMania, ever, to not winning a single match in a year.
Okay.
Cesaro's right. A good pick, too.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for the verbal just pat on the head.
So.
Fine.
I mean, in KFAB. In KFAB, it's the most shocking thing. It's you know.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Diva of the year. I feel like it's Paige.
I went Paige.
You know, one on, yeah, AJ would have been a strong choice as well.
Mm-hmm.
Paige won on, you know, they had her win the championship on her very first night on Raw. And has been pretty steady in the main Diva storyline.
Yeah.
Even when she hasn't really been there for like the past couple months, they basically put her back into it, this past week on Raw.
Yeah.
So spent like the majority of the week, or a majority of the year in contention for the title. No, that's not a bad first year.
No, yeah. Not at all. That is, I mean, if you had gone AJ, I would not have said you were wrong.
No, but yeah.
You know, I'm gonna go Paige. Just, she made a big splash and maintained that through the year.
Yep.
Even when she wasn't the champion, she was consistently mm-hmm. in the title scene. And even when she's not in the title scene, she was consistently
and, you know,
on
she's
the show.
Interesting and fun to watch, you know, all the things that you, that feels like it's so rare in Divas competition on the main shows now.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm glad to see more of that.
Yes.
So, and we're seeing a lot more of that with the more recent crop of Divas coming through NXT. Fingers crossed. Storyline of the year. I said the Daniel Bryan versus Authority.
Absolutely.
Like beginning of the year.
Everything from the Royal Rumble up to Daniel Bryan holding those dual titles at the end of WrestleMania.
So, you're not trying to pull a swerve and just say Adam Rose versus the Bunny?
No.
Okay.
No, it's that was the easiest classy to give this year.
Yeah,
the storyline of the year was clearly Daniel Bryan overcoming the odds. Because he's an actual underdog.
Yeah.
But Daniel Bryan achieving that dream, and just like, I don't think anything has evoked, except for Sting coming out, because golly. But I don't think anything else has like ever evoked more emotion from me this year in wrestling than seeing that entire storyline play out and build up and watching that final match and knowing how it had to end and at the same time being terrified that it wouldn't end like that.
Yeah.
It's like being six and watching Star Wars and being scared they won't blow up the Death Star in time, even though I'm like, it's a scripted movie and the good guys are gonna win.
Yeah.
Like, so it, you know, as a full-grown male adult, like, it still had me being like, he still might not win the titles at the end.
Right.
So, no, that's easily the best storyline this year.
Agreed. Spot of the year, I'm actually still, like, debating that in my head. So, how about you go first?
I'll go first on this
one. And I will probably do whatever is opposite of what you say.
Well, actually, my spot of the year was Roman Reigns breaking the record in the Royal Rumble.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
it's just, I mean, if you want to do an exact spot, like, throwing out the last guy so he breaks the record. But, you know.
So Sheamus.
Yeah, so, but that's an incredible achievement. And kind of something that, like, it wasn't the other, you know, the other big thing that was broken this year was the Undertaker streak.
Yeah.
But that's something that's been built up and been built up. And so every year it's like, is this going to be the year? Kane's Royal Rumble streak has not really been that. It was just the thing that was always going to be, you know, the thing that they talked about in the by the numbers. That was, that was kind of thing that just, it kind of felt like wasn't getting broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That, you know, and so to kind of have him come out and do that was shocking and, you know, just, holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
And in a, you know, Rumble marred with controversy.
Right. He booed Rey Mysterio. Oh, that's so funny to me. So, I know.
Yeah. So that's my spot of the year is Roman Reigns breaking the most elimination record.
All right. I'm probably going to go with the Batista bomb RKO at WrestleMania 30. Was it a perfect move? Not really. It was a little off timing a little bit, but, you know, I couldn't do it, so I, what can I say, you know? Just, you know, it looked like it legitimately could have taken out, you know, believably taken out Daniel Bryan for the rest of the match or whatever and have him stretchered out or whatever.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, like, the guy who probably should have been stretchered out, maybe should have been, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's painful to see him land on that monitor every time. But it's still a spot that, you know, you can rewatch and you're, you know.
You do the, face.
Yeah. And it's an impressive spot every single time.
Yeah.
No,
that's a good spot.
That one's mine. Sorry I didn't pick the curb stomp in through the quote unquote concrete blocks.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's okay, Chris.
Okay. Pay-per-view of the year.
WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, it has to be WrestleMania 30.
WrestleMania 30.
Come on. It was just nothing is a perfect show, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, because there was still a Divas Battle Royal.
But that's a good Divas Battle Royal.
Okay, sure. if Naomi hadn't screwed up the ending.
Yeah.
Cause she was supposed, it was supposed to be like AJ, like using her hand to tap, but she ended up tapping her, with her other arm.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about as close as perfect as it was gonna get. Like it's, we're still, me and Joel are still both like kinda considering this maybe to be the best WrestleMania ever.
I say best WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're doing this best pay-per-view of the year. Might be best pay-per-view in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, no, I mean,
like, the only other one that I would, you know, even stick on there is the 2011 Money in the Bank.
Right, just for that moment at the end.
And that, you know, and that comes down to one match and one storyline leading up to one match.
I mean, yeah, Daniel Bryan won that Money in the Bank match to start off the show. And overall, it was a good show start to end.
Yeah.
But
WrestleMania 30 is just, it has the moment, it has the show-ending moment that's just heartfelt and amazing. It has the streak ending match, and, you know, whatever you feel about the match, that moment, and the just...
Yeah.
The silence and the shock is palpable.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Absolutely.
And so just to capture all that...
And that, everyone's reaction to Cesaro in the Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, just everyone losing their minds.
Yeah.
At the same time. A few times during that, you know, during that night. It was just a great show. For me, Survivor Series was a distant second. It was great show.
Survivor
especially
Series
that main event was amazing.
Survivor Series was second, but yeah. I don't think you had like top to bottom show. You cannot come close to WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, agreed. Video package of the year?
The video package that introed WrestleMania 30. Yeah.
The one you're talking about, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Daniel Bryan, leading up to it. Like, for a while, I just, like, I couldn't think of a video package, but then I was like, duh, that one.
And, like, you know what, that was, the video package of the year award originated because of the Miz Hate Me Now video intro at WrestleMania 27. And that was because there was a pretty standard thing, you know, just the intro video, and they did something with it that was interesting and unique and sharp and memorable. And was pulled off really well. There wasn't anything like that this year. There wasn't a video package. I'm like, that video package was head and shoulders above all the other video packages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, WWE does great video packages, great recap packages, but nothing has stood like head and shoulders above. But because of the storyline, because of the storyline that particular video package was telling this year, that one ends up being the best video package of the year. Because it pulls the most heartstrings.
Yeah, and like, you know, the one that I always, you know, point back to for 2012 for me was the one before... I can't remember what the pay-per-view was, but it was the match where it was the triple threat for the championship between CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And then AJ was kind of looming with, you know, her little romantic thing. That package before that was it was an amazing summation of what's going on, but did it in a way that was, like, you know, aesthetically pleasing, had good music and all that stuff, and it very much set up the mood incredibly well. And that's exactly what you're looking for. That's what we were looking for, like, what we saw with The Miz and the Hate Me Now promo, or the video package.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I felt that with Daniel Bryan. Like, I was really, I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Match of the year, Joel.
I going first?
Yeah, because I'm, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm rethinking mine a little bit.
My match of the year is Survivor Series main event.
See, I want to say that, but I also want to say, Daniel Bryan and Triple H at WrestleMania 30.
That's fun.
But I also want to say Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville.
That is also fun.
Cause like, the reaction to Daniel Bryan winning, and that whole, just, atmosphere of that match was fantastic, and it was incredibly well executed by both guys. Survivor Series was more of like, we couldn't believe this was happening.
Yeah.
You know, Ziggler is carrying this team by himself, and looks like he's going to do it. And he had all these moments where we thought it was going to be over one way or the other. And me and you at least were losing our mind.
Yeah.
And, then the whole Sting thing where our minds did get blown. And then Ziggler ended up winning and we were just completely giddy.
Yeah.
But Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville was just like almost perfect.
I cannot argue with Sami Zayn. That was a,
like, the atmosphere was great. The match was amazing. It had, like, a little bit of that drama within the match. You know, that whole stuff with the ref. They did that a little bit too much, but I didn't mind it too much. It didn't take away from anything, I didn't think.
And if you're letting me have the unfair advantage of sprinkling the Sting debut into, like, the reason why this is match of the year, you also get, like, your match ended with Sami Zayn on shoulders, handshake, congratulations, and then, and a Kevin Owen turn.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm gonna go with Zayn and Neville. We discussed this, and I think I'm good. And again, yours is like,
well, that's the thing. Is like, so you know, there's this weird thing of like, some stuff makes a match better if you, some matches are better if you just enrich yourself in the kayfabe, and some matches are better if you step away.
Yeah.
Punk and Cena at Money in the Bank, that stepping away and just being like, I don't know what's gonna happen, made that match even better. You know? Whereas, something like, you know, Daniel Bryan, just enriching yourself into like, he's gotta win this when he's gotta, you know, break through and get it, that's even better. And with this one, I'm like, if I just am fully into kayfabe, I'm like, they gotta do this because they gotta defeat the Authority and it's gotta happen. And if I'm outside of kayfabe, I'm like, they were giving away this pay-per-view for free.
Yeah.
They have got to pull out all the stops just to see what is going on here. In every way, that Survivor Series match was enthralling just to like, oh, what's gonna happen?
Yeah.
It was Big Show and it has that, feel to it. But Cena's out of that match halfway through the match.
Yeah.
And then just like, the Cena factor is gone and it's just Ziggler against three guys.
Yeah.
And so just watching that and knowing, like, all these times that, like, that Ziggler moment has been, like, dangled in front of me and taken away, and not daring to, you know, give them my heart again because it's been torn so many times.
That's the reason why I didn't make Ziggler my most improved of the year, because I didn't want to jinx it. That's the only reason, honestly.
Yeah, so it's just, like, that match, the emotional appeal of that match, and then, yes, and then obviously to have Sting come out and to sit there on the couch being like, it's gotta be Sting, right? It can't be Sting. They're like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't get my poor heart a going to think that Sting might come out.
Right. But it's we always made fun of those people. They're like, Sting could return at any moment. Mm-hmm. Sting versus Undertaker's gonna happen this year. You know, we always made fun of those guys. We didn't want to be those guys, but we were kind of those guys.
Yeah. And it happened and just, and Triple H sold that moment perfectly.
Yep.
And just, you know, just, what are you doing here? Just great acting of all things on Triple H.
Yeah.
And just, it was just a full, complete, beautiful moment.
Absolutely. No. Yeah. I mean, there's no wrong answer.
I mean, there is.
There is a wrong answer, but neither of us picked
we both answers. Picked correct answers. Yes. Good for us.
Superstar of the year. I went Brock Lesnar. I mean, the guy beat the streak and he made John Cena look like a ragdoll.
Yeah.
In the same year. Like, no one on this planet could say that they did both of those, let alone just the Undertaker streak.
Yeah.
You know? So that alone, I mean, other than that, you know, you could say Daniel Bryan, but he was gone for half of the year.
That's the thing, is like, I feel like you gotta show up a certain amount to really be considered Superstar of the Year.
I mean, I'm sure Daniel Bryan still showed up more than Brock Lesnar
did. He did. Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, Daniel Bryan's not my pick either.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
You don't know my pick is.
I don't know what your pick is.
But that's the thing. It's like Daniel Bryan, yeah, he was fast on his way to easily being Superstar of the Year again, and just, like, he wasn't there for over half the year.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar had 4 matches this year. Yeah. You know? That's like, yeah, he won them all, but, like, also kind of just like sideshow attraction of the year.
Okay, fine.
Superstar of the year, Seth Rollins.
Okay. Yeah.
Seth Rollins.
That guy, like, yeah. If we had an award called Workhorse of the Year, absolutely Seth Rollins.
That's the thing, is like, Seth Rollins has been there consistently. He won Money in the Bank this year. Yep. He was in, you know, he successfully won several things with the Shield.
Yep.
Left the Shield and successfully won several matches on his own. In kayfabe, he is there. He is the top heel, is, you know, in a stable that has Triple H and Randy Orton in it.
Yeah.
He is still the most in-the-ring dominant heel on the show right now.
Yeah.
No, Seth Rollins is easily my superstar of the year.
Again, both of those are a better choice than Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Let's just throw that out
there. Yeah, Roman Reigns was not going to be
considered. Like, what did Roman Reigns... Yeah, he had the record at Royal Rumble. That was in January. What has he done since then?
I mean, that's the thing is for me, Dean Ambrose was my second one, and that was just because of consistency on the show.
I was fully expecting you to just be like, it's Dolph Ziggler because Dolph Ziggler.
considered it. Dolph Ziggler was considered, obviously. But, you know... But, like, a heart goes with Dolph Ziggler, but Seth Rollins has just, this has been his year, you know? And that's the thing, part of that's the thing is that last year was so unquestionably Daniel Bryan's year.
Yeah.
And the year before that was the 2 years before that were so unquestionably CM Punk's year.
Yep.
There was nobody was like, that's their year, it's no problem.
No, it wasn't as clear.
There's not as clear cut, but I really think that this is Seth Rollins' year. This cemented him as a viable one-man show. You know, he doesn't, cause he was the one I thought was gonna get lost in the Shield breakup. I was like, he's the one that's gonna kind of go down and be stuck in the mid card.
Yeah.
And he is not. He has maintained consistent, you know, at a top level against John Cena and fighting for time with Randy Orton. Like, he is there with the big guys and holding his own.
I agree. That's not a bad choice.
All right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's another successful class.
That is a successful class. I think we agreed a lot more this year.
I mean, we don't tend to, like, disagree that much.
Yeah.
You know, we're very agreeable people.
Well, nobody has gone...
Which makes for such interesting podcasting.
Nobody has gone off the rails on a class before. I'm just waiting for the 1 year where you're sitting here and you're like...
Because it's gonna be me that goes off the rails.
You're gonna be like...
Obviously.
I'm sorry, Del Rio and John Cena match of the year.
I knew you were gonna bring it up.
You've dipped your toes off the rails.
I did. I agree. I did.
So
that was Classy's number one. Okay,
it was.
They didn't get everything right in the first WrestleMania either. So okay.
I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
At some point, we're gonna be like, all right, it's time for Superstar of the Year, and you're gonna jump up and go, Ron Simmons. I'm like, he wasn't in a match this year, Chris.
It doesn't care. I don't care, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't care, he can be Superstar of the Year if he wants. He's got a ring.
Fine.
So what's making you happy there, Joel?
What's making me happy this week? Golly, I guess I know what's making me happy non-wrestling.
Okay, well, okay, fine.
Do you want to do wrestling first?
Do wrestling first, clearly.
Wrestling, what's making me happy in wrestling?
Probably nothing.
I mean, it's like, the Royal Rumble is close.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, what's making me happy is I don't know who's going to win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And that's not happened. I was wrong last year. No, yeah. But I knew who was going to, like, this time last year, I knew who was going to win the Royal Rumble. This time, the year before that, I knew who was going to win the Royal Rumble. The year before that, I knew. So this is the first time in a long time. I don't know who's winning, like.
Yeah.
And I might know by, you know, the time the show starts. I might be like, oh, okay, they're going this way. But right now, I don't know. And that's a very kind of exciting thing. That's how the Rumble should be, you know? We could go in any kind of direction here.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So yeah, that's what's making me happy in wrestling right now is that there are several real legitimate possibilities for a Rumble winner.
Style. Yeah, for me, wrestling related is Wrestle Kingdom 9. Like, I already talked about that to, you know, the length of that I could.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then non-wrestling, we have to make an announcement, I guess.
I mean, if you don't follow us on Twitter, I kind of ruined that one.
Yes. Last week I made a bet with my girlfriend that I basically bet her half of my things that I was gonna love her forever.
You romantic son of a gun. Yeah, that's right, Joel. That's right, everyone. That is the way that Joel has decided to tell all of you that he is now engaged to the woman who was formerly known as Joel's girlfriend.
Yes, Joel's girlfriend is now Joel's fiance.
Yes. She is now. The only way you're able to get away with this is that she doesn't listen to the podcast.
I know!
Because you would be in so much trouble. Oh! Oh, I'm gonna tell on you so bad.
I was informed that this better be the thing that's making me happy this week. And yes, it is. Like, it's very... It's...
I like how you had to clarify. It is making me happy, everyone. It's... Just wanted to, you know, let everyone know.
Well... I'm very happy to be engaged. But I'm also at this point kind of ready to be married now.
Yeah. You're like, okay.
Well, that's the thing. Is like,
the excitement of that is, you know, kind of starting to...
I'm going to get married in May. But that's part of the thing is like, you know, I was very much, you know...
5 months from now.
I know, right?
Dear Lord.
I'm ready to go. All
right.
Well, that's the thing is a lot of people, you know, have... I've talked to a lot of people who are like, you know, they've gotten engaged because they'll be ready to get married in a year. They know they'll get ready to get married in a year. They're not now, but they'll be ready in a year, so they'll be engaged. And I'm like, God, that's dangerous!
Right.
I'm so worried about that. So I was like, so once I proposed, I was ready to get married.
Right.
So now I'm ready to get married.
It's like, alright, so we're gonna do this now, right?
So.
And, fair enough.
So, but yeah, no, it's exciting. And,
yeah. And I'm incredibly happy for you guys.
Being a grown up, it's weird.
You're telling me. Like, you're 2 years younger than me and you're getting married.
I'm sorry, do you want me to wait?
I mean, no, because Lord knows how long you would be waiting. And I don't want you, I don't want that for either of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely congratulations, and that's great and all, but I'm happy this week because I got a new toilet seat.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Is it heated?
No, it's just padded.
Okay. Yeah. At least it's better than your average toilet seat.
It would be a great week if I could fix that dumb clog in my shower drain. It's annoying.
Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack.
That's how I'm fixing that.
Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack?
You're like, screw it. I'm moving. Mail sack. Forget this drain. Whoever has that could just go blank off.
Pretty much.
Joel, I think that is what YOLO feels like. And on that note, it's time for the mail sack! Alright, this comes from Jay on Facebook. WWE hasn't always been known for their decision making. If we could change any decision WWE made in 2014, which one would you do and why? I would probably change the way they handled CM Punk.
Yeah, I was like,
that is, and because it's our show and we can have multiple answers if you want to, so suck it, Jay. Also, the way they handled Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know for sure and exactly all the details of what happened with Del Rio. Those what was reported. If that is true, absolutely, the guy who made the racist remark should have either been fired instead of Del Rio or also been fired.
In addition.
And shouldn't have been the one who posted on WWE's Twitter, allegedly, and announced Del Rio was fired and was very, combative about it.
Yeah.
That, I mean, yeah, Triple H, when he also sent out a tweet that was pretty much harping along the same lines, but it, you know, I didn't feel right.
That's the thing, is like,
both of those handlings were incredibly botched.
The thing is like, yeah, with Del Rio, it's like, when you found out why he hit a guy, he's like, yeah, you should hit a guy, but at the same time, I also understand why you gotta get fired for hitting a guy.
Yeah, I mean.
And so that just kinda, that just sucks, and the thing that, but yeah, CM Punk was easily my first answer, was I was like, because, according to CM Punk, he did not think he was gone for good.
Yeah, until he got the, his termination papers on his wedding day.
Yeah, and so,
I mean, he would've been gone for a while.
Yeah, he'd been gone for a while, but like, clearly he thought there was a bridge, and somebody in WWE decided that there wasn't a bridge.
And he was expecting a call the day that his, you know, quote-unquote suspension was over. He said that himself. Yeah. He was expecting some sort of call. If he would've accepted it or not, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because the call never happened.
So, I think that they should have decided to give it one more go at getting CM Punk back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
And somebody in WWE should have just swallowed their pride.
Yeah.
Honestly. And just... And again, like, I go back and forth on whether or not that whole termination paper thing was just a really awful coincidence or done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might be yelling at their audio device right now and be like, it was clearly, you know, they did it on purpose. Fine. I just don't want to think anyone is that evil.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know that's very naive of me to say, and it's probably incredibly wrong, but I don't want to believe they're that evil.
Yeah. So. No, it's, but it was not handled the best.
No, not absolutely. It was not handled right. On both sides as well, to be honest with you. CM Punk probably didn't handle that situation as level-headed as he can, as he should have.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is like, most of what CM Punk's, because he left so early in 2014.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of what, you know, what decisions would you have changed that WWE made? Most of them are 2013 decisions. Doesn't give him the time off that he needs, you know.
And it was a culmination of things.
Yeah, it's like, if you agree on a certain amount of time off, give him that amount of time off. Don't call him back early.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as of 2014, given it, you know, give him the time, give him the space, try it again one more time.
Absolutely.
So.
And give Dolph Ziggler the shot he needs.
Yes.
He deserves.
Mm.
Well, yeah, that's right. I added a third one.
Any day that Dolph Ziggler does not, any Monday where Dolph Ziggler is not winning a championship is a bad Monday.
So you had a bad Monday that he lost the Intercontinental Championship?
Well, no, because I need him to get rid of that so he can win the Rumble.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I mean, that's
the thing. And get fired.
That firing's going to be a little problematic. I don't know. I guess they'll
he's got like 3 weeks to get hired again.
Can they all three be surprise entrants in the Rumble?
I don't know. Probably.
I mean, see, I am assuming that they're going to, you know, they're going to hire them back, but they'll be the 1, 2, and 3 draws in the Rumble or something like that.
Or at least like two of them that'll happen to. And then one, they won't announce that he's been re-signed or whatever until he comes out into the ring or something or.
But Ziggler is totally, so at some point in the future, somebody will win from the number one slot again.
Yeah.
And Ziggler is the kind of guy that can do that.
No, absolutely.
Ziggler can flop on around a ring for an hour and still come out looking like he'll win.
The only thing that does annoy me about Ziggler is every year at the Royal Rumble, he spends so much time on the apron.
Yeah.
Like, he spends 75% of his time on the apron during the entire Royal Rumble. That, I'm just like, okay, just find a corner somewhere and just kind of just chill for a little bit.
Take a break.
Yeah, take a break.
So.
There you go.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. We will be live tweeting the Royal Rumble.
Yes,
it'll be a fun time.
Sure will. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Look us up there. You could write a review, which would really help the podcast, or give us a rating, maybe a
5 stars.
That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast. You can also subscribe, get new episodes every single week.
Yep, and if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Just like us there. Easy way to keep up with us. You can also do mail sack submission through Facebook. We check that. Just an easy way for interactions as well.
Yes, sir.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.